Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper? A woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver. I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello, hey, hello.
Samantha.
Hey, babe.
Welcome to Survival Jobs, a podcast, everybody.
I was like, thank you. Oh. I was like, thank you so much. I feel so welcome. And I'm Samantha Dawn Tutsalo. We're so happy everyone's tuning in to Survival Jobs, a podcast in collaboration with Broadway World.
Yes.
Episode 35. Here we are again. That's another one.
Yeah.
30. Oh my gosh, 3 and 5 are my lucky numbers.
Oh, so it's a good episode then.
Wow, congratulations for the lucky one.
Right?
So great.
So I guess, Samantha, like it's kind of hard to do this podcast, or not do this podcast, but like to start this podcast when there's so much craziness in the world, right? In our country, especially. And
And it's like, when does it end, you know?
Never ends.
It just feels so, I don't even know the word. How are you feeling?
You know, I guess I wanted to say that we do this podcast to bring some light into a very dark world, you know. And as we said a few weeks ago, that we need to stay vigilant and know what's happening in our country, because, you know, these terrible, I'm trying to use my words very wisely so I don't offend too many people, but, you know, at the end of the day, I really don't give two craps about MAGA people. So
I was gonna say this is our
don't
show
tune in.
We can say whatever we want.
But, you know, these terrible right-wing MAGA people don't take breaks, y'all. And as we can see from the Buffalo shooting that happened this week, white supremacists don't take breaks either. And it was less than 2 years ago that we were all out in the streets. We were demanding justice for Breonna Taylor and George Floyd and Black Lives Matter. And it feels like that energy or that fire has kind of died down in less than 2 years. And I'm wondering, like, what happened to that? Because it seems like we were all coming together and we were finally demanding justice and accountability. And I don't know what happened to that. I'm not sure if it's just because that trash bag is not president anymore, that things are just kind of, everybody's kind of like, okay, we're better, but things aren't better as we can see. And Black people are tired, you know, we're exhausted. And I'm sure women are exhausted and tired. And, you know, queer people are exhausted and tired, and it's like nonstop every freaking day in the middle of a pandemic as well. And I just wanted to challenge our listeners, our viewers out there, and ask, like, what have you done? And not just you in general, Samantha, I mean, it's like everybody out there, like, what have you done in the past 2 years since those protests to help and to embolden the Black people in your lives and you know, to stop this or to help stop this ridiculous and hurtful white supremacist rhetoric, you know? And I think I want to challenge people, whether it's to donate to a Black cause or help organize a protest or write to your elected officials or register to vote
or just have a conversation.
Have a conversation.
Someone who might not understand why people are upset, you know? And I think that's important as well. Conversations in your inner circle really can make a difference as well.
Yeah. So that was my challenge. And I hope, you know, I'm not trying to preach. I know this is supposed to be a nice little light moment for your week, you know, an hour or so to just like de-stress a little bit. But, you know, this shit is hard. And I just want to remind people that, and hopefully we can all do a little more. So, yeah, I mean, that's just how I'm feeling. And I think, you know, everyone needs to do a little more and to really just, you know, stay on top of these things and know what's going on in the world. Like, I know it's hard and it's stressful, but these people don't take breaks and they're trying to take our rights away. They're trying to just, it's a lot. So, you know, just stay on top of it and check in on your Black and Brown people in your lives.
For sure. Well, I'm checking in on you, babe, and I love you.
You always do.
I got you.
Yeah. Anything you want? I know I was on a little tangent there. Anything you want to say?
That's okay. No, you know, I just continue to be shocked. And I know that that's maybe crazy to think because things just keep happening one after the other. But the shock never goes away. And it's like, why do we have to live in this kind of a world? And like, exactly, like, what can we do to get out of it? And I think it's the small steps that are going to lead to the big ones, right? We're just two people and we can't change everything overnight. So you got to start small. And that's what I think. Like I said, the small intimate conversations with people who have questions or like don't understand like why this person said X or why this person is marching or why this person posted this or why we're talking about this on this podcast about artists, because it's important and it affects everyone. So I sign off on everything you say and I support and love you.
Oh, I love you too, boo. And I love everybody for listening to us and listening to me go on these tangents, even if I think it's important, you know.
It is.
Yeah. What else is on your mind?
I do want to say that I apologize. I was trying to, because you were preaching and speaking so beautifully. It's not you always speak beautifully. So I was trying to get your box on this video bigger, and I made my face went huge. So sorry to everyone who's watching that. There it is again. How do I make it be you?
Oh, there it is. Look at us.
You guys, we're learning something new every single day. Anyway, sorry, I didn't mean to take a huge turn away from what we were speaking of, but I did want to bring attention to the people who are watching the video. That's what just happened.
Yeah, right.
yeah. So Jason, maybe we can drop some places to donate in the show notes or
So we always have some places, but I'll find some more to add in there.
Yeah.
Because it's important, and I think we all need to do our part, and we just stay on top of it and stay vigilant. And you know, there's many ways to activism, right? It's like some people are really good at donating, some people are really good at actually being on the front line, some people are people who are having conversations. You know, I think we all can do our part and find our way to be useful and to change some minds. And yeah, I mean, I don't want to keep going and keep harping on it, but.
No, but
we got work to do.
That's it.
Yeah.
In conclusion, mad work.
That's a thesis statement. We got work to do.
That is.
Should we talk about Chris?
Yeah.
You want to talk about?
No, that's okay. You know what? We'll save This Is Us for next week because the series finale will happen on Tuesday, and I'll have a lot to talk about. As our faithful listeners know, I've been following this show since day one, and the series is ending on Tuesday, and it's emotional. It is.
Yeah.
So
we'll yes, save come that on, Susan.
Yes.
Come on to our show.
Literally, come on to the show. We'll save that for next week.
For sure.
You know?
Let's talk about Chris.
So something exciting. Yeah, exactly. Chris, who we're going to speak to today, is also from Connecticut. Isn't that a theme we've been having lately? We're just having all these Connecticut people on, which is so fun because it's like, yes, represent Connecticut. You know what I mean? Let's pump out these stars. But you've known Chris or seen him around the Bridgeport theater community. So you want to kick off telling everyone his bio?
Oh, yeah. So it's funny because last time I saw Chris had to be I think it wasn't this year. He's been on tour. It had to be last year in the middle of the pandemic. I saw him at the supermarket and I was like, hey. But yeah, I've seen it. Yeah, in the Stop and Shop parking lot.
I haven't heard anybody say like supermarket in a long time. I loved that.
Oh, what is it called? What is it called?
A grocery store.
Grocery store, yeah.
We say grocery store. That's funny. No, it's just funny how people say things differently.
Yeah.
Yeah, my brain is like flatlining this week.
It's a stressful week. But yeah, so I first saw Chris, or I remember seeing Chris, was in like 2012. There was like a Whitney Houston tribute concert at a downtown cabaret here in Bridgeport, and he sang I'll Always Love You. And I'm, you know, anybody who knows me or follows me on Instagram, I'm like the biggest Whitney fan, you know, definitely top five, I would say. But yeah, so, and he did it justice. He sang Always Love You, and that's like obviously her signature song that everyone knows, and to hear like a guy sing it, number one, and then to do it so well, I was blown away. And I was just like, oh my gosh, this guy is great. And I've seen him in a couple other shows here and there. So I don't know him, like, I don't know him as a friend personally yet, but, you know, we just have run in the same circles and, you know, I've seen him perform and yeah, he's always so nice and so kind and always smiling. He has the greatest, beautiful, big white smile and super talented. So, and I'm so happy that I wanted to be on the show. When I reached out to him, was like, hey, I know you're doing the Pretty Woman tour. I tried to go see it. I couldn't make it when they were in Hartford, but he didn't hold that against me. He was like, yes, I'll come on your show.
Can you imagine? So I'm super happy. You didn't see my show. I'm not coming on yours.
I know. He's like, yeah, negative on that.
Canceled.
Cancel. But yeah, so let's talk about him. I'll start with his bio.
Kick it off.
Yeah. Chris is currently on the first national tour of Pretty Woman as an ensemble member and understudy for Edward Lewis and Philip Stuckey, which is, you know, the leads. A graduate of Fairfield University, he began performing at an early age as a violinist, singer, and actor. In addition to theater, Chris has been employed as a songwriter with ASCAP and has performed as a solo act alongside Alicia Keys, Mint Condition, and Brian McKnight.
Ooh, that is classy.
Alicia Keys is the truth.
I know, we love her. Some of the most memorable theater roles have been Bobby Kennedy in the one-person play, RFK, Billy Bigelow in Carousel, and Judas in Jesus Christ Superstar. Chris hails from Bridgeport, Connecticut. Whoop. And in addition to being a performer, is a purple belt in Brazilian jiu-jitsu. He loves competing in jiu-jitsu and practicing overall physical fitness regularly.
Chris is currently eyeing film and television roles, as well as continuing his journey in the world of musical theater. He is constantly learning and striving to reach his full potential as a performer and is represented by Brett Adams, LTD, in New York City.
Boom, baby, boom.
Yes. Let's watch it.
Enjoy, you guys. Enjoy.
Hi, Chris.
Hi. What's going on? How are you? Hey, Jason.
Hey, how are you?
Good. I'm great.
Oh, we love great over here.
Yeah, out here in sunny Florida. Can't get any better.
Yeah, you know, it's great. Welcome to Survival Jobs, a podcast. We are so happy to have you.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
Thank you to Jason for going into the vaults and finding you to come on.
Yes, yes. I'm glad he did.
Yep. Yeah, so you're in Florida.
He's scared of Chris, so had to bring him in.
Thank you.
Amazing.
The two Bridgeport guys, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I was going to say that. I love when, you know, I feel like it always randomly happens that we get Connecticut people on here and we don't even mean to.
Yeah.
Right, Jason? We just keep getting those Connecticut people up in Survival Jobs.
Well, I've been a fan of Chris for so long because he's always performing and we run like in the same circle. So
I think you knew who he was from Connecticut Theater?
Yeah.
Oh!
Yeah.
I didn't know that. I thought you just were like looking around like on tours and we were like, this guy looks great.
Oh, well, thank you.
Oh, did you guys know each other? Or just like you just knew of him?
We met a couple times.
Yeah.
Oh my God. I love that.
Now we're going to become friends now, officially.
That's right. That's official.
We have some mutual friends as well.
Yes, we do.
So we're all just connected.
That's right.
Wow, guys, I just got so excited. I did not realize that because I've been in fog land. I've had so much BS going on in my life. My brain hasn't been working. So obviously you knew who he was. Anywho.
Who doesn't know who I am?
Exactly.
Exactly.
A lot of people.
A lot. Well, this podcast is called Survival Jobs, a podcast. And we love talking to artists, actors, performers, whoever that loves art about their survival jobs on their journey to be where they are now.
Cool.
Yeah. So Jason, you want to kick it off? Let's just
I'm gonna hop right in because I know Chris, you have a two-show day today. So we're gonna get this popping.
Let's go.
Yeah. Can you share a story or an experience from a survival job that you really enjoyed and that really helped kind of where your career is now?
Yeah, so, well, I think that the job that most helped me in this career is real estate. So I'm a realtor in Connecticut as well, and also New York. And so just doing that, like, first of all, it gives you the flexibility. It gave me the flexibility to be able to audition when I had to and to leave and do shows and be really flexible. And also just, like, dealing with people, like, on a day-to-day, different people. Like when I have interactions with people, I try to like pick up different things that person might do or say or like behaviors. And then like I'll use those. If I like it, I'll like kind of use that later on in a performance or whatever. So I just love like meeting new people and being outside and like something new every day. I guess that's just like the artist in me. It like helps me scratch that itch.
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
I had an acting teacher who would always be like, watch people, right? That's how you become a better actor, is to watch and observe other people.
Yeah.
So like go to bars or like, you know, when you're working your job, just stay in the background and just observe.
Yeah. You know, I took some classes at William Esper Studio in the city, and I had Suzanne Esper as the teacher. And that's one of the things she told us to do. She's like, you know, when you're walking around the city, she's like, just like observe people and look at them and judge them. She's like, I want you to judge. Like, I want you to formulate opinions about these people based on what you see, because that helps you in the performance. You're reacting to what you're seeing, you know? So that's like, what you're saying is 100% true. You know, I've heard that before.
Because you're a Meisner person. So yes, that's why.
Yeah.
Jason, like, how do you know what studio teaches what method? You were like, okay, Meisner.
Like the savant. He's a savant in this theater game. He's been in the game for a minute.
Yeah, he really is. He always amazes me. Mm-hmm. So opposite of that, do you have a job that was like your worst survival job that you like hated, or like a shocking story that happened?
Worst survival job is like doing masonry work, to be honest with you. In the hot summer, it was not good. It was like backbreaking labor. I did like masonry work and landscaping. So that was like really tough. Although it like helps you stay in shape and whatnot and you get a nice tan. But other than that, it's like really backbreaking labor. I don't know, like no story like in particular is jumping off the page that necessarily has something to do with theater. I mean, I've done like all types of different jobs, you know, bartending, like I said, real estate. I've worked in construction. I have worked at UPS and loading the trucks. So like I've worked the graveyard shift from, I think it was 11 to 5. It wasn't 8 hours. I think it was a 6 hour shift, 11 to 5 in the morning.
Jeez.
And just so the boxes just come on a conveyor belt nonstop. And it was you and one other person standing in the truck, just loading them in. So, you know, like if you're getting those UPS boxes, just know that there's an actual live human being putting those in the truck and that human being.
That seems like it could be a good workout though, you know?
It's a great workout. You lose a ton of weight and it's about 110 degrees inside the truck. So you're definitely sweating it out.
And now you could be the UPS guy in Legally Blonde.
Hey, listen, let's go. Let's make it happen. I'm ready.
That's actually like not a bad schedule really for an actor, because you could work from 11 to 5, like wake up a little, like get a coffee and then go to an audition or go to like put your name on a list.
Yeah, 100%. And you're like 5 o'clock, dead. You still have time to sleep before you actually have to get to most auditions.
So right. Perfect.
Yeah, wow. It works out good. Like, I like stuff like that, that you could do at night so you still have your whole entire day free. It's kind of essential to do that, actually.
Yeah, but
you have to have something like that. Or you have to be, like, really, really flexible in your job.
Right.
You know, have somebody that's really understanding. Like, I was lucky enough to have people that I worked for and with that were really understanding about what I was trying to do. All right, you want the truth? Sometimes I would lie. I would lie. And I would say that I had to go, like, do something else. I'm a little sick. You got to do what you got to do to get where you want to go. So,
Chris, you were just acting. You were working on your craft. It wasn't a lie. Yes.
I'm guilty.
That is good. You know, you're using your acting skills.
That's right.
Exactly. And I think it paid off, right?
Wait, I want to know, what's the craziest job that you've heard about on this podcast?
Oh, one that I did not like was the one where I think it was actually Chris Cafaro. He was talking about how he had to he had to go to open up apartments for
this
something.
This is literally what I was going to say as well.
Was it? Yeah.
He
had to get a key from all the way in the West Side. He had to go open these apartments around New York City and bring people's bags up to their apartments. He never got tipped.
Yeah.
And he was he would work 8-10 hours a day. Awful.
Okay. I'm sure there were all walk-up buildings too. No elevator.
And he would carry the laundry up the 5 flights of stairs. No tip. It was bad. Jason, that's
they were people always tip you when he got hired, and no one ever did in the 6 months he worked there.
I was going to say that as well.
That's how they get you. That's the setup. Yeah, no. You're going to make tons of tips.
Yeah. And then people are a-holes and nobody tips. By the way, I do want to say, I think real estate is a very good job for actors to have because you're not waiting tables. By the way, nothing wrong with waiting tables. We all have waited tables.
Yes.
You're not waiting tables. You're still interacting with people. It's so flexible and you're making real money.
Yeah, it's good money. I mean, if you get the right place, I mean, you can make more money than you do in a show, frankly, sometimes.
Right.
depending on what show, what kind of contract it is.
Right.
But it's really good. I mean, it's fun and it keeps you on your toes, literally and figuratively. So it's good.
For
anything
sure.
Anything that you could do where you're interacting with people, I feel like can help you with your craft, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
That's so true.
Oh, call center jobs. Those I can't do. Those I'm
horrifying.
Be changing the desk inside. No, I can never. I did it before and I can never do that again. That's
Gabby said, our last guest, Gabby French.
Yeah, she had a call center job. And then you know who else? We had another person who had a call center job who had some crazy, crazy, crazy woman. So I feel like you get a lot of crazy people at these jobs. And people are mean. It's different when people are mean in hospitality because you're just you can walk away from them. But if somebody's mean to you on the phone and it's your job, you're sort of stuck on a phone call with them. And you're like, yo, I gotta get off the phone.
Yeah, and you can smile all you want and try to diffuse it on a phone call, but because the other person can't see you, it's you can't turn on the charm. There's only so much that you can do to kind of try to de-escalate the situation. So
yeah.
It can get really ugly really fast when you're on just a phone call.
That's a mess. Well, I want to jump into your freaking talent, man. I think I told you this a couple weeks ago. I remember the first time I remember you was there was a Whitney Houston tribute. Do you remember that?
Yes, I do.
I'm not making that up, right?
No, I remember.
Okay, there was a Whitney Houston tribute at the Downtown Cabaret, and you sang I Will Always Love You, and it was, amazing. And first of all, that's a song that no one should do, right? Because it's, Whitney's signature.
Yes, 100%.
But you nailed it, and did it, you're in your own way. And, I think for a male singer to, tackle it was, so beautiful. So that's my first memory of you, and I was I'm a fan. I'm a fan for life after that because Whitney's my favorite singer. And if you can do her justice, then.
Yeah, I mean, that's high praise as if you're saying I did justice to a Whitney song because Whitney is for sure is Whitney.
Yeah.
But yeah, I did a lot. I did quite a few. They used to do a lot of benefit shows there. So they would raise money for the theater. And I always I love participating in stuff like that. You know, I think it's so important to do your part and to get out there to be able to support local arts groups and things like that. It's, you know, because that's the lifeblood of it. That's, I mean, pretty much everybody gets their start doing that, right? Like, we don't.
That's so true. That community, right? Broadway. That local community theater. But how old were you when you decided you wanted to, like, when you knew you had a gift? When you, like, knew you could sing? Not just sing, but you could sing.
So, singing-wise was, I think it was, like, in the fifth grade or something. And I sang in church. And everybody would, like, gave me love after that. They were like, oh, you sounded so good and this and this and that. Now, I don't know I think I sounded okay. But I don't know how much of that was just supporting me and whatever, but I really took it to heart. And so I was like, all right, cool. I'm going to try to do this more often. Like, feels good to, like, be in front of people and do that. And then in seventh grade was where it, like, took off, because I was in a show that was written by one of the teachers. I don't remember the name of the show, but I remember the name of the character I played. It was the lead, and his name was Marty Fastbuck, and he was like a fly-by-night sales guy. And
oh, wow.
So So I played that role, and I performed it for the school assembly. And, I mean, I felt good. I felt really good about my performance, guys, and I felt like I nailed it. And then the next day at school, that night, was the parent, was for all the parents to go and watch the show. And there was an eighth grader that did that one, because if seventh grade was for the school, eighth grade was. And the next day everybody was like, oh my God, you totally should have been like the one to go on for the parents. You were so awesome. Like, it was better, this and that. So I was like, all right, maybe I'm onto something here. Like, yeah, let's go. Let's, you know. And that was where I kind of married the two things together, the singing and the acting. And I discovered that you could get the best of both worlds with musical theater. So that, I think that was, like, kind of where I really developed that love for it, you know?
Thank God for Marty. Marty Fishburg.
Marty Fastbook, yeah.
Oh, Fastbook. Fishburg, I said.
Yep. Marty Fastbook. That's a great name. It's just a musical theater character name.
Yeah, Yeah, the teacher did a good job writing it too. So,
yeah, shout out to that teacher. What was their name?
Yeah,
you know their name?
I don't remember.
No idea. But shout out to that teacher if you're listening. Thank you for Marty Fastbook.
I think I'm pretty sure it was Mrs. Spears, but I could be wrong. So, Mrs. Spears, if you're out there, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for Marty, because look at how far we've come.
Yes.
So you did a ton of theater in Connecticut. I may actually have seen you in some stuff, I think. I don't know. Maybe Les Mis. Maybe.
Yeah, I did Les Mis. I was Marius.
For sure. So you did a ton of stuff in Connecticut, and you were like, I love this. So how did you make the transition from Connecticut theater to finding representation to where you are now in your artistic journey?
So there's a lot of really good groups, theater groups in Connecticut. And one of them is called New Paradigm Theater. And they have some really good people, like great people that are involved with that and that run that theater company. And so they ended up calling me at one point. I had been doing shows in Connecticut. They ended up calling me and said, you know, we're doing Hunchback, and the person that was going to play Clopin can't do it anymore. So we are looking for a replacement. So would you like to come in and do it? Or, like, I said, yeah, 100%. So I went in and I was able to work with Paul Bogave, who was actually the music director for that. Kristen Huffman, who was in Company on Broadway, was working. She runs the theater company. And a guy named Scott Bryce, who was in a lot of TV and film. He was actually in the soap world for a long time. He was the director. So I valued all three of their opinions. And in talking to them and learning from them, and Scott pulled me aside one day after the rehearsal. He was like, I don't know what you're doing or, like, what your story is, what you're doing for work right now, but you should totally, like, be out there. And his wife, Jody, told me about William Esper Studio and everything. So that kind of, like, got the ball rolling to where I said, you know what, let me just go all in. You have to go all in. Right? There's no halfway. It's either you're in or you're out.
You can't
expect to get to that level if you're not willing to commit 100% and believe that you could do it. So that's my little spiel on that. But that was kind of, like, the start of it. And then I was lucky enough to book during the pandemic. I mean, many other things happened along that time. But I was lucky enough to book the role of Bobby Kennedy in a one-man show at Music Theater of Connecticut, which is also where I got my equity card.
Okay, one-man show.
What's that?
Yeah.
I said, okay, one-man show.
Yeah, that was one of the, so that like really did a lot for my confidence on stage and just got me to believe, because it was 2.5 hour show, pretty much just out there, 43 pages of text. And like to this day, I can't believe that I memorized all that. And there's nowhere to go when you're in a one person show.
Yeah.
Nowhere to run. There's nowhere to hide.
43 pages.
43 pages. Yeah. And I went up in the first show because whatever, nerves. And
yeah.
You can't, it's like, it's terrifying because like your mind is racing, trying to figure out where you were or trying to find like the next spot to start back up. And you don't want to be too far down the show and like eliminate, you know, 5 scenes from the show. So, but that did a lot in like preparing me to perform, you know, to take the stage and to like really dig into a role and to like study it. I did a lot of like work on studying Bobby Kennedy. I got the accent down, his little mannerisms and things like that. So that was really cool. And I believe that that gave me a little bit of a jolt that I needed to take that extra confidence into the city and try to book these other roles.
I mean, yeah, having that behind you. I mean, if you could do a one-man show and survive, then you could do anything, in my opinion.
Yeah, and if you could do a one-man show and flourish.
Maybe you did a one-man show, too.
Even better, yeah.
100%. Or one-person show.
Enjoyed it. What's that?
Samantha did a one-person show in college.
I did, in college.
What was it?
The Search for Signs of Intelligent Life in the Universe. Lily Tomlin did it. And then, what's the girl's name from SNL that just did it at the Shed? Cecily Strong. She just did it at the Shed. I cut 7 characters out, though. But it was still an hour. I don't think I could do it now. In college, I was I had a much different mindset.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's totally, you really have to, like, commit. Needless to say,
yeah,
it's a lot to do.
Is the Music Theater of Connecticut in Norwalk?
It is, yep.
On Westport Ave, right?
Yep.
It's right by my parents' house.
It's right great. It's a great little theater. They do good shows there. I did 3 shows there. So I did RFK. I was in Jekyll and Hyde, and I was in Ragtime there. And actually, Ragtime, Ezekiel. Andrews, Ezekiel Andrews, friend of mine. He is now on Lion King. Mufasa playing Mufasa on Broadway. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Amazing.
Yep. So he's a great guy. His co-house is just out of this world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's my favorite. That's my favorite show besides Hairspray is Ragtime.
Oh, you say Lion King. I was like, really?
Oh no. I love the movie.
We did that when we were when everything was going down with like you know, I remember during the pandemic, it was all with George Floyd and things like that. There was, you know, the Black Lives Matter movement. And to have done Ragtime just before the pandemic and then to do RFK during the pandemic when it was really, you know, taking center stage nationally, it was that definitely added something to my performance because it was so relevant. And it was unbelievable that it was so relevant in 2020. It was like, how can this even be?
It probably really helped ground you too, like to have it in the world. Well, Chris, we're almost at the end of our interview because we have a show today.
We're going to get you onto that stage.
We have to talk about Pretty Woman though before we go, which I'm so mad I missed it in Hartford when you were here. But
Jason!
I know. I'm kicking myself. But tell us about the process.
So, Pretty Woman, the show is so fun, right? It's like a feel good show. People, obviously, almost everybody that comes to the show knows the song Pretty Woman, Roy Orbison. And I'm not going to say when in the show, but we do give people that number, right? So, and it's really, really fun. But the show follows the storyline of the movie really well. All like the moments that people remember from the movie, which I can't believe was 30 years ago. And the music was done by Bryan Adams. And it's, you know, it's great for the type of show that it is. It elevates your spirits, right? It's a storyline that everyone kind of knows and loves. And the director, Jerry Mitchell, he directed and choreo- uh, choreographed a show.
Two-time Tony Award winner.
Two-time Tony Award. I mean, do I need to say anything else? The whole creative team, it was amazing. I mean, like literally,
Understudy for Adam Pascal, right?
Yeah, so Adam is great. Understudy his role, Edward Lewis, and I also understudy Philip Stuckey, who is his attorney, who's played by Matt Stokey. Stokey playing Stuckey. And everybody, I mean, from the top down, literally from the top down. Paula Wagner, who's the producer. We had a chance to meet Kathleen and Barbara Marshall, Gary Marshall's wife and daughter. And just the amount of, from day one of the rehearsal process, it was infectious. Their energy and their passion for the show were infectious. And it really just elevated kind of everyone's game. Top to bottom, I could not be happier with the people that I'm surrounded by in this show.
Oh, that's amazing. I love that. How many times have you gone on for Adam?
So I've gone on 7 times, 6 times in Cleveland where I got a review. I actually went on press night in Cleveland.
That's so exciting.
I was able to be reviewed in Cleveland. And then the other time I went on was the first show in Hartford. So Jason, how'd you like that? Oh, that's right.
crying. But you had 20 people, you told me, that still came out to support you.
I did have a lot of people. I think I had about 80 people there at that show.
So fun.
Yeah, it was great. It was a great time. And Olivia Valley is like, she is so fun to perform with, and she sings the roof off and she acts the stage off, and it's great. It really makes fun.
Did you know that you were doing the performances on press night?
I didn't.
Oh, thank
you. As a matter of fact, I had a 2-hour notice that I was doing it. And that was my debut. he opened on a Tuesday and then got sick. And I got the call at like 4:30 on Wednesday. Hey, you ready to go on tonight? I was like, yeah. So we did it. It was nerve-wracking. It was great. I mean, it was everything that I could have imagined. And it got better from there.
That's amazing. We wish you that we could talk to you for hours, but again, we have to get you on that stage. Maybe you're going to go on today. Who knows what's going to happen when you get to the theater.
You never know. That's right. Yeah, for sure.
So on season one, we had one of our guests say that if all of their artistic talents and success went away, they could go back to waiting tables and be happy. And that was one of their survival jobs. So do you have a survival job that you feel like you could go back to that would fulfill you as much as performing does? In a different way, you know?
In a different way, yeah.
Different.
The thing about performing is, like, it's one of those things where, like, if you're a performer, you have to do it. You can try to, like, push it down and, like, do, like, a quote-unquote have a normal life or whatever, but it's impossible to do. I know that from experience. But if I really pushed came to shove, I had to go back to something, I would go back to real estate. The company that I work for is amazing in Connecticut, this company called Yellow Brick. They're awesome people. So I could definitely go back to doing that. And lately I've been thinking about getting my, like a fitness instructor license, like a personal trainer license. I would like to do that. I'm really into
Jiu-Jitsu King. You need to talk about that, but you are.
Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. I'm like an avid competitor and practitioner of Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, purple belt. So it's like anything that has to do with that or fitness, I would love to do too. Yeah.
Oh, wow. That's so nice.
That's my story and I'm sticking to it.
We love that. We love sticking to the stories. So I don't know if you've been prepped, but we end every episode with a game.
Okay. I haven't, but let's do it.
Jason, do you want to talk about the game since it came from your brain?
Yes. So since you are in the iconic Pretty Woman musical, we're doing a trivia game of other movie to screen. Okay, ruin that. Sorry. Screen to stage adaptations. We have 5 quick trivia questions for you. And we are going to just ask them. And if you need a lifeline, one of us will give you one. But I think you got
maybe,
this.
Maybe, if we're feeling kind. Or maybe not.
You want to take the first one, Samantha?
Yep. Okay. Are you ready? Do you have your competitive pants on, number one?
I'm ready. Let's go.
Okay. True or false? The 1950s.
Oh, I have to wait. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
getting ahead of myself.
Don't jump the gun.
Okay, ready? The 1952 movie musical Singing in the Rain opened on Broadway 3 years prior in 1949. True or false?
True.
It was a movie first.
Okay. Yeah, I should have known that.
It's because you jumped the gun and you thought you knew it. And
yeah, sorry. That's right. I had the true in my head. Let's go. Next one. I got this.
Okay.
Go ahead, Jay.
Okay. The Bodyguard musical, based off a 1992 Whitney Houston and Kevin Costner film, won 4 Tony Awards in the 2015 Broadway season. True or false?
False.
That's false. Yes, you're right.
False.
Correct.
It was never on Broadway.
Yeah.
You got
Congratulations.
We couldn't win any Tonys.
Okay, next. This Patrick Swayze classic romance film had a musical adaptation that premiered on Broadway in April 2012. A, Flashdance. B, Two Wong Fu. C, Ghost. Or D, Point Break.
Ghost.
Correct.
Ding, yes. Ding, ding.
Yes.
There you go. And last one before the bonus. Which one of these classic Whoopi Goldberg movies has never transitioned into a Broadway musical? A, Sister Act. B, How Stella Got Her Groove Back. C, The Lion King. Or D, The Color Purple.
It's How Stella Got Her Groove Back?
Correct.
Yeah.
Kingston, this is a good game.
Okay, all the other ones are on Broadway, so yeah.
Okay, now for your bonus to redeem your incorrect answer on the first question. Who starred as Edward and Vivian in the 1990 Pretty Woman film?
This is a layup. Richard Gere and Julia Roberts.
Congratulations.
Yes.
You got the bonus, so which redeemed your wrong answer.
Right?
Now you have 100%.
Yes. Oh, Chris, I think we have like 2 minutes, I think. Right?
Okay.
Possibly. Advice. Can you just give some advice to anyone who wants to do what you do?
Yeah. Never stop. Never stop doing the things that are necessary, right? Like, time takes time, and your timeline could be totally different than the next person. Some people go to school, get out, book a Broadway show. Some people, you got to wait. Me, right? For instance. You got to wait. And just everything that you do, do it with the mindset of this is another stepping stone to get me to where I want to be, and just never quit. And eventually you'll get there. But you got to believe it. 1,000%. You have to know that this is what you're going to end up doing. And if you do that, chances are it's going to happen. Like Henry Ford has a good quote. He said, whether you think you can or think you can't, whether you think you can or think you can't, you're right. So
That's a good way to end.
A good way to end. Can you please tell all of our listeners where they can follow you on social media?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm on Instagram @I'm Chris Manuel. I don't know why I think I'm getting like
you're nervous. We just made it through the whole interview. Now you're nervous.
And now I'm like starting to get like all nervous. and on Facebook, Chris Manuel. So you can follow me on both of those.
There it is. I do use Instagram. And if you're listening because you're a Chris fan.
What's that?
Whoa, something crazy just happened. Like screen froze and then everything caught up. What was that last thing you just said?
Oh, so I'm on Instagram a lot. So I typically post a lot of stories on Instagram and whatnot. So @I'm Chris Manuel, follow me along and I'll follow you back.
And a lot of fitness stuff too you'd be doing. Your jiu-jitsu.
I put a lot of fitness. I put everything on there. I mean, you're going to see my life, you know.
Yeah.
Gotta follow and keep up with the next projects, and maybe you'll be in a city when he goes on for Adam, and then you can see him kill it with that good review.
Never know. We're going to the West Coast. We're gonna leave in next week. We're in Tampa. Then we have a week layoff, and then we head to the West Coast until September. Yep.
Oh,
so
wow.
We'll be all in California, Portland, Seattle, San Diego, Denver.
You are busy and big.
Yeah.
That's and busy. Yep. And if you guys are tuning in because you're a Chris fan and you don't follow us at Survival Jobs Pod on Instagram and Twitter, on Facebook at Survival Jobs a Podcast. Shoot us an email at survivaljobspod@gmail.com. follow my boy Jason at Jason A. Coombs, and follow me at Sammy Tuts. Jason, that's the yes. first time I ever got your Instagram handle right. I'm so proud.
There you go.
I really am.
Chris, it's been an honor. Thank you so much for spending time with us. I know you have a show to get to, so we appreciate you. And come back.
Yes, I would love to. It's been great.
Yes, and next time I promise no technical difficulties next time, and then we can have a little more time to talk to you.
Sounds good.
Awesome. Thank you. Have a great show today.
Thank you. Thank you.
Hey, it's Leslie Odom Jr. here on the Broadway Podcast Network to tell you about the RISE Theater Directory, a program of Maestro Music. RISE is a national online resource designed to connect and empower backstage and administrative and creative theater professionals from underrepresented backgrounds. If you work or aspire to work in the theater community, this can help you find your next project. And if you hire theater professionals, search the RISE Theater Directory to find your next team. Create your profile now and get more information by visiting risetheater.org. That's theater with an RISETHEATRE.org. Because only together we rise.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.